Hey everyone, and welcome to the third edition of Metal Hammer Meets. I'm Luke Morton, online editor for Metal Hammer, and this episode I'm joined by Ishan. We met last month in London while he was over to promote his new album Armour, which is perhaps his most accessible solo album to date, and in my opinion also his best. Here we talk about the process behind writing that record, creating a cohesive album, and the idea of concept records. We also discussed the importance of Iron Maiden on a young Ishan, why there hasn't been a new Emperor album, the effect of heavy music, and at the end we get quite deep into the idea of music acting as a religion for some people. Here we go. So we'll start with that. Obviously in May you're releasing, which is your seventh studio album in 12 years, which is quite prolific for an artist, I feel like. Do you feel, is it hard for you to sort of sit still and not be constantly creating?
Well, no, I wouldn't say I'm constantly creating, because I need a break, you know, in between albums. But I mean, this is like more or less every second year, which is rather, you know, it's an okay rate. but obviously I haven't really been touring, you know, extensively in those years. So obviously where other bands might do an album and then be touring for 9 months and then having some time off and then getting back in the studio kind of thing, of course, obviously it takes more time. But yeah, I what can I say? I really enjoy, you know, sitting in the studio, being, you know, that selfish, self-centered, like me and my music kind of situation. So, yeah, always a good way to find an excuse to do that.
You said about the new album that each track has its own identity. Was it...
At least that's the intention.
Is it hard to create sort of a whole then from like 10 individual parts?
That's kind of the main objective here, and that I've had with all my albums, this book I have where I kind of sketch out the album before I start writing. You know, some general guiding lines, really, from imagery to lyrical ideas to just sounds, and I have that for every album. And as with my previous Arctis, just to put it in context, that was obviously placed in an Arctic scene, so the metaphors and everything, often revolving on reoccurring themes, you know, lyrically. But still, you know, from a different perspective. So that was very much an outside Arctic landscape type of vibe. And with this new one, it's inside. I mean, the cover artwork also kind of reflects on that. And hence, the sounds on the album, it's a very much more intimate production. It's not all big orchestra arrangements. It's more, and you know, very strong emphasis on analog synthesis and that kind of eerie... More, yeah. If you compare it to soundtracks, you have the John Carpenter stuff, and then you have the John Williams stuff. You know, it's different. It's still powerful, but it's in a different way. So I had some guidelines like that, and creating that kind of framework, I think, helps me focus creative energy in that period of time. Because I grew up on albums. I don't want to make a collection of 10 songs that I happen to write in that period. You know, you want that to have some kind of connection. But of course, within that framework, I'd like to kind of explore the extremes. So that's why I have, you know, songs on the album that are, you know, purely black metal, you know, and blast beats, to songs that are in essence just like a pop song.
Yeah.
And hopefully still making sense as one piece.
Well, that's sort of the stereotypical idea of progressive music, isn't it? All the albums are concept albums, is sort of how non-prog fans see it. Was that always in your mind that albums are meant to have a theme or a story or a through line?
Well, I never thought about it I didn't know that was kind of a prog thing. But no, it's basically, I mean, for me, growing up on Iron Maiden, I mean, they were a very strong thematic, you know, just the imagery of their albums, you know, very strong thematic themes. And like with Power Slave, for example, you know, the Egyptian styled album, and you have that kind of Egyptian scale, with a Power Slave song, that it goes together, and with my favorite our Maiden album, like Seventh Son of a Seventh Son, this kind of icy kind of the imagery there, and that story of the Seventh Son, that's obviously a narrative. There's a concept there, but I always liked albums, and whether they were intended to be or not, when you grow up and have these albums on constant repeat, they become representatives of a certain period in your life, and you attach all these kind of experiences and emotions to it that you can kind of relive when you listen to those songs. So that's why I still like to work within that format, that I want the album, yes, to feel as a whole. It becomes, hopefully, larger than the sum of its parts.
So tonally, like you mentioned that obviously some songs are black metal and some are basically pop songs, but it feels like it's still quite a dark and brooding record throughout. It's not necessarily stereotypically joyous at parts. Like, do you can
Certainly hope so, No, but I've often been I've been doing when doing some press for this. I think I said something that got out in the press release that I always intend to make the darkest possible album, which is true. But people doing this type of music and kind of being aware of, I think they know what I mean. But I think from an outsider perspective, I should probably say I always try to make the most profound album ever, because it's not to be very very pompous about it. It's really that I really like music that has a lot of depth to it, that like strong, that deal with these big existential, feelings, so and that's always my end goal. I mean, my experience with music, that those moments where you just lose yourself in the music, it's not a good feeling, it's not a bad feeling, it's just like a very profound feeling. That is, of course, always the end goal, to create songs or albums that in some way might get closer to achieving that kind of sensation that I think all music lovers recognize. And how you get there is all individual, but I think both as a music fan and as a writer of music, it's kind of getting to that point, which essentially is the driving force.
So you mentioned growing up loving Iron Maiden, and so those records were important to you. What was your musical upbringing? Because obviously you're a metalhead. That's quite obvious.
Definitely. No, I think early on showed an interest for my grandmother's piano, and so I always kind of played with that, and then so they put me to do lessons when I was like 6 or 7, and I did that for a few years, and then I also started, playing around with my parents' acoustics, just trying to make sound on those, and learning some chords, which led me to get my first electric when I was about 10. I was kind of sold. My piano playing went a bit downhill from there, but discovering, I think I bought Kiss Rock and Roll Over based on the cover, and beyond that, I was a huge Twisted Sister fan for a little while there. But then I discovered Iron Maiden, and I went to see the Seventh Tour of a Seventh Tour kind of on October 5th, 1988, which is a big changing point. I mean, I already played in bands and was really excited about, but I mean, after Pyros went off on Moonchild on that show, I can't remember considering doing anything else beyond that point. I never had a plan B beyond that.
So, listening to sort of the new album and the back, so your back catalogue as well, the solo stuff, it looks like some of the more progressive elements went way over my head on some of the earlier stuff. Whereas this record feels way more accessible and sort of more palatable, I suppose, for someone who's not as into the more esoteric eccentricities of progressive metal. Like, was that an intention, that it was going to be a bit more easy going on a music fan?
No, honestly, it wasn't. It's more, again, I I have really at heart of it very simple kind of approach to doing these kind of experiments, and it's really just finding ways, especially just for guitar playing, you know, to kind of skip that muscle memory thing. That's what led me to do 7-string guitars or 8-string guitars, you know, to kind of skip that element so I can just discover, you know, and play music, you know, more directly, more spontaneously, rather than going through the, oh, have I played something? Yeah, I'm repeating myself, you know, all that, to skip that part, and basically just trying to find new ways to keep myself as enthusiastic and kind of excited about the whole process, you know, as I've had all along, yeah, and not get too comfortable, you know, because it's not a chore, it's should be excitement, you know, and I believe truly that is the only way you can create something that hopefully other people will find exciting as well. You know, if I'm not excited about making it, you know, I can't really expect anyone to be excited about listening to it. You know, it's my fifth record, Das Seelenbrechen, was a very clearly experimental album. I did a couple of purely improvised tracks and kind of plunged into that direction, you know, as an experiment, which was really rewarding. As a contrast to that, I did Arctis the last album, where I wanted to focus on very much traditional songwriting, you know, which I grew up in, Iron Maiden and all that very pop rock format, clear, you know, verse, chorus, bridge kind of format, which everybody who listens to music almost has the blueprint to what that is, you know, and it's really challenging, you know. I think a lot of people who played in extreme metal bands, you know, like, yeah, we don't care about this. We don't want to make pop music. We do something extreme. And it's like 20 riffs later, you know, you reach the end of the song and it's really sounding just like a collection of, you know, 20 songs. I guess over the years I've been more appreciative of how people can turn to the same, you know, musical ideas and just explore them in so many different ways, you know, changing up the arrangement, but its recognizability, and just even, you know, using very traditional, you know, compositional techniques, like, you know, playing things backwards and changing keys, but still maintaining the same melody, stuff like that. The craftsmanship of traditional songwriting, you know, that is, I found just as challenging as doing anything more experimental. Yeah, and I guess with the new album, I still keep within that format, you know, trying to really, you know, find an individual, very individual character to each song. You know, like I don't want necessarily two songs to sound very similar, you know, but really explore, yeah, as I explained, the core objective of the album in the widest possible way.
I guess it must be quite difficult then in that regard to not just fall into the trap of doing verse, chorus, end. Like you say, there's a lot of extreme metal bands doing crazy things that aren't necessarily pushing any envelopes whatsoever. It's just chucking a load of things together and hoping for the best. Is it something you found yourself getting better at and finding yourself more adept to, just sort of inverting what a stereotypical song is? Is that something you find yourself that's easier for you to do now?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you take some experience with you, you know, from every album, and you know, some of it you just, you know, pass on to the next, and some stuff you leave behind in exchange for something else. I've had the privilege of doing so many albums, you know, throughout my career now, and in a very uncompromising way, and also in the capacity of being a solo artist, being able to kind of change up in a, you know, to whatever, you know, direction I wanted to be without having to reach some kind of democratic conclusion with band members or anything, and not limited to a certain set of instruments. You know, it's if I wanted to have a saxophone player on my album, I just could just get one, you know, and yeah, So whether it's easier, I never think it's easy. I think it's, you know, some music is easy, but it's hard getting to that point where to get the initial idea, and then building on it can, you know, it can be very easy for a while, and then suddenly you're stuck again. So it's always a struggle between, you know, something that is purely intuition and just goes flows on itself, and then you have really hard periods. So every album is a struggle, whether the format is this or that.
Obviously, as this is, you know, Metal Hammer, a lot of people obviously know your solo stuff, but everyone obviously knows you through Emperor as well. That do you? What is it you get out of being Ishan than you that you don't get out of being in Emperor?
Well, as I said, I get to do make all the decisions myself, and obviously we get that all the time. Will there be another Emperor record? You know, you're
Of course.
playing live, and which is, you know, of course a compliment. You know, obviously it has great value for people what we did, and I assume they at some level they want more of that, of course, which is of course very nice. But I think no new Emperor album could probably satisfy that, because what kind of album would it be if it was up to me alone? As the end of Emperor, I basically wrote that album on my own, the last record. So if it was up to me, Emperor would sound like what I do now. But obviously, there would be no Emperor album with 8-string guitars and saxophone. You know, so in that respect, it would be kind of a limitation to what I could do, you know, with music. So I'd much more prefer to do it like this. You know, and for me, probably it's not as important which logo, you know, ends up on the cover. It's much more important for me, you know, to have that kind of creative space.
Completely. Do you still find yourself, do you feel connected to the black metal scene, or do you feel like as an artist you've sort of progressed away from that into something different?
To be honest, I of course, being an Emperor, of course I'm connected to the scene, but you know, personally, how connected I ever was, you know, it's an entirely different matter, because I think it was Samos in Emperor who had kind of all the connections, you know, that had the network and knew all the people, and through him I of course, you know, got to know people, and but he was always the one who had kind of the connection, you know, so I guess I was always the nerdy one. The nerdy tag along, you know.
The one who wanted to put a saxophone on everything.
No. But I feel strongly connected to the essence of black metal. You know, that core. I think even to this day, that kind of the source, you know, that driving force that makes me do this, and you know, that abstract feeling, as I said, you know, that I want to try and achieve, is very much the same as it was back in the day. That's it feels like it's been a constant, you know, through all my creative life, that just that every song and every new album is another attempt to get closer to that kind of ideal, in a way.
Do you keep an eye on what's happening sort of around the world in metal? Are you aware of sort of like any contemporary bands that you're sort of into right now?
Not you know, very strongly. You know, I have a very general interest in music, and obviously through my work, I get to listen to a lot of metal as well. But for the most part, for my own pleasure, I tend to lean to other genres just to kind of escape the work set mindset. You know, but and also to like a lot of other influences that went into this album, you know, especially for the sounds, you know, more or even, you know, a lot of urban music with like deep 808s and a lot of focus on sub-frequency stuff, and which I find very, very interesting. But obviously, as a fan, I have you know, regardless of, you know, what I'd hope fans of my type of music would do, you know, I tend to go back to the classics as well, but obviously there are surprises and a lot of new stuff happening. You know, I'm biased, of course, but like Leprous, yeah, obviously. But also, I love all the Opus. You know, I love the new direction of Opus. You know, I think Ghost is amazing. Just not a new band, but still, you know, like, yeah, very, very, you know, in the time, you know, bands. And I've reached a point where I just really differentiate between I love great music, and I'm not so keen on bad music, you know. And that's, of course, a very subjective, and that basically what resonates with me and what doesn't.
Completely.
Yeah.
So going back to the album, one of the things that stuck out most to me perhaps was the final track, like the Edgar Allan Poe, mm-hmm, poem, which is a bold move, I think, to sort of turn like quite a famous Gothic poem into an 11-minute like metal track. Like, why? Where did that inspiration or the idea for that come from?
Oh, I wish I had a very exciting answer for you, but this is a bonus track for this extended edition, as the industry dictates, you know. But so to be honest, I never understood the need for bonus material, at least not in the capacity of being just one or two songs that you kept off one album, you know. Either it's part of the album or it's not. So for a while now, I've had the bonus material, but like this, and also my previous one, but a fundamentally different thing. So that the 9 songs that for the standard edition is kind of the full experience, and it's even put together so that if you play the album on loop, you know, the key of the songs, and so it will match. It will kind of be a seamless transition. It's kind of nice to explore a different. Obviously, this is more like a soundtrack type of piece, long kind of slow piece, and it adds well to the atmosphere of the rest of the album. But it is kind of very distinct. It's not like one of the other songs that is kind of taken out of it. It's something rather different. Originally, I wrote my own lyrics to the song,
okay,
and started the recording and vocals, and it just didn't fall into place. And as with everything else, when I'm stuck, I turn to my most trusted creative partner, my wife, who suggested, you know, I find a poem that could kind of give a totally different or another perspective and inspiration. And we both sat down on our computers and did research, and she found this poem, and both in content, you know, with the it was very similar, you know, in the things it dealt with as stuff I dealt with on the other lyrics on the album, and it resonated very, very easily with me, and also how it, you know, the length of the poem also actually fit the music and everything very well. So it inspired a totally different vocal approach to the song, and it was, you know, at that point much more inspiring for me to perform that poem rather than the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, because for people listening who don't know the poem, it's a very bleak poem. Yeah, obviously a lot of Poe's stuff isn't exactly positive. Yeah, he's like the king of goth that he is. Yeah, like, why did it resonate with you? Like, as quite a sort of depressive poem.
No, I didn't really interpret this as
depressive. Maybe depressive is the wrong word, but I think it's still quite a sort of a tale of solidarity and that, yeah, or like isolation, maybe.
Yeah, but I think it's something that many people who are drawn to this style of music, you know, often, yeah, you know, they have felt, and it goes, you know, this that he couldn't see, he didn't see. Obviously, it became clear for him that he didn't see things as others saw them. You know, I think many people can relate to that. When at least me growing up, it always felt like everybody else in that kind of, not that I was an outsider like that or a loner, but it's just everybody else seemed to have this kind of social glue and understanding of what was out there. It's like they shared a secret that I wasn't part of, but obviously it It wasn't, and probably most people felt like that, but that alienation and on one of the songs on the album, I think I deal with very much the same material in like where you are lost and I belong, you know, that individually we have this perception of the world and ourselves in it, which is obviously very narrow to and close to who you are as a person, and it can, you know, I think many people would find themselves lost in my view of the world, as we just talked about in the beginning, like, yeah, a dark album, you know, and what I mean by it, it's of course profound. It's for me, it's something pleasurable, you know, I don't think I'm a very depressed or otherwise person, but it's, yeah, this, and I didn't interpret that poem as depressing or dark. It's just a recognition that since birth he obviously was drawn to a different perspective on life than what was common, and yeah,
it's obviously a thing I think that metal fans probably all, like you say, all agree on. They, I think, people who are often attracted to heavier, darker music probably don't see it as a dark, depressing thing. They see it as like, yeah, an empowering thing almost.
I don't think people listen to black metal to feel worse. I think with music or in art in general, I mean, I would argue that for example, movies that makes the biggest impression on you as people or as a person, it's not really the comedies. You know, it is the existential questions, you know, that kind of grab hold of you the most, I would say. And yeah. In the same with music, you know, that it might be those kind of broad, big questions and that dark and that fear of mortality, you know, at some level that kind of take hold of us. And I would say in many ways a lot of music, I think it kind of taps into that same part of humanity that might lead some people to religion. But it kind of taps into that because it's so abstract, but it's something that is not very otherworldly, if you will. And I would at least, you know, that type of feeling that I can get from music, I assume, would be very similar to a religious experience, but without the stigma and all the rules, you know?
That's quite a nice way to put it, that, you know, music is your religion type thing, where it's just, you know, I believe in, the, you know, the music can give you the power or the positive feeling to do better or be a good person rather than a higher power can, you know?
Yeah, or at least, you know, it makes you reflect, you know, and kind of get in touch with those sides of yourself. I mean, being an atheist or you know, non-religious does not necessarily mean that you are limited in your spiritual capacity, you know, but it's not dictated by a set of rules or any absolute truths or conclusions.
Yeah. So you believe in Iron Maiden rather than God, you know?
The whole part of believing, and I've been confronted, you know, by some religious friends of mine this with, okay, so you follow Nietzsche. I was like, no, I don't. That's the whole point. I don't follow anything. You know, you have to be open to the whole idea, is to kind of be open to a lot of new perspectives, whether it's something you agree with or not. You know, if you meet someone who has a totally opposite position than you, you know, some people are immediately threatened by people having a difference of opinion, and some people, you know, are more curious and you can mirror your own perspectives in that light and see, like, okay, yeah, maybe it will even change your perspective on things, you know, which makes it more interesting, you know, to at least be open to some kind of new ways of thinking.
Is that something that you are aware of when you're creating then? It's just like someone might hear this and go, and you might inspire them in more ways than one.
I wish I was, but I mean, most of what most of the stuff that I'm most happy about, whether it's lyrical or musical, you know, it's like you just spend your time in the studio, and suddenly your sequencer plays back something that you feel this is it. You recognize it. You have absolutely no idea how it got there, but you can kind of take credit for it. You know, it's very much on intuition. Of course, I will have thoughts on, you know, different themes and stuff that I want to reflect on in lyrics and musically. But most of the time, it's and probably even more so with my later work, it's more on intuition, and even reading back, you know, some lyrics, I can't really recall always necessarily what were the original thoughts behind it, but I kind of recognized it more on the emotional level.
Yeah.
You know.
And that was Ishan. Don't forget, his new album is out on May 4th via Spine Farm Records. I've been Luke Morton from Metal Hammer Magazine. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to like and subscribe to the Metal Hammer podcast on iTunes. I'll be back on the weekly show this Thursday with the rest of the team. Cheers.